All right, and you're on the radio.
Hello?
Oh.
Oops. Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hi there.
We have two quick questions. In reference to the internal working in BAI, when we send money to BAI, does BAI get to manage any of that money, or does it have to go directly into Pacific?
It goes directly into a lockbox.
Hmm.
It used to go directly to BAI, and then Pacific used to complain they'd never get it and that they never could trust the accounting they would get from WBAI, the money.
Hmm.
So they then instituted a process where they had to go to a lockbox. It would go directly. Then somebody from Pacific would pick up the money, and then they would take from off the top what they decided to be their levy and then send the rest to so that flipped it around. Now BAI is always complaining about, hey, we're not getting as much money as we thought we were giving them. Wait a second, what's going on?
So there's no way for BAI to intervene with stopping
funds? No way.
Funds
absolutely no way. They own us lock, stock, and barrel.
And in terms of the, like this morning, Lynn Chadwick said, it was a democratic process how we voted to knock out the locals.
Not a thing about Pacifica's governance that is democratic. Even before, in fact, I want to talk about structure because it was this lack of democracy and accountability in the structure that has enabled this mess to happen. The advisory boards that originally chose the delegates, the two delegates, and I call them delegates because they are chosen just by those boards, they're not elected, they're self-selecting. Then you have a national board that is self-selecting. Every single person who is a sponsor, who is a worker, all of those people are utterly disenfranchised. They had no say in any of these decision-making. This is not democratic. This is about as democratic as an election was in South Africa 10 years ago.
So, in other words,
I thought it was interesting, Lynn Chadwick's response to the fact that the Berkeley City Council and mayor was getting involved, and that sort of testy anger that a capitalist has when the government dares to compete in the private sector.
So the strategy is eminently winnable on our side if we just have the funds and the smarts to keep on it. Is that correct?
Yes, and the will. You know, and the will to save the station. I mean, I think the first thing that people have to say is, these are our stations. We built them. Our love, our labor, our work, generations of us, the people, for 50 years, that's what, you know, these stations were about. That's why they were put here for, not to be deployable assets for the likes of Michael Palmer, not to calculate the cost per delivering programming to a listener. This is not a profit-making enterprise. This is the greatest single experiment in mass public education, probably, probably in this century anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair enough to say.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and therefore it must be put into the hands of the people who love it, the people who it's for, and the people who it's by. And that is the only protection we have. An asset this valuable is always going to be under attack, whether by greedy opportunists or COINTELPRO operators or both, because, this type of freedom and this type of access to information cannot be tolerated. It is a grievous threat. And so the only way that we can safely protect ourselves, I mean, if you were, you know, going in to fight a joust, you know, there's no guarantee that if you wear armor that you're going to, you know, come out okay. But if you don't, you can be sure that you're going to be wiped out. And a democratic structure will give the people standing to fight these things off without having to be arrested in front of buildings, without having to go through, without having to try to subvert gag orders. And if there's something happening that's not right, then people can say, okay, we want this brought up in a forum. We want to see the books. We want to know where the money's going.
Exactly.
These directors are not doing their job properly. We're going to hold a recall election, and there can be a proper process for doing these things. I just, if if I may, Paul, Joni, and everyone, I would like to read something which we call the 15 demands that basically cover, I think, what it is that we need to go for, what it is that we're trying to come out with in the end. Right now, we're trying to stop the theft, but ultimately, we're trying to make a structure for the operation of these stations and this institution that reflects the principles that it was founded on and that gives the people who it's for and who it's by the standing to do so. You know.
Well, how long will it take to do it? Because I like we have so many calls coming
well,
in.
I don't know. I'll try to talk fast.
All right.
Okay, and if you want me to stop, I'll stop.
Okay.
Demand one, we demand the abolishment of the gag rule. The gag rule or the dirty laundry rule and the initiation of a process of unscreened and uncensored discussion regarding these demands concerning Pacifica on the Pacifica airwaves and through other appropriate means that may be at Pacifica's disposal or under its control. We demand the rehiring of any Pacifica staff person fired for violating the gag rule. We demand an end to political censorship. We demand the end of racist and sexist programming policies. We demand that Pacifica's so-called five-year plan be rescinded. We demand the firing of all outside programming consultants. We demand the immediate cessation of all union-busting activities and the withdrawal of all legal action against unions associated with Pacifica. We demand the reunionization of all Pacifica stations on the basis of new contracts. We demand the cessation of all Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding at Pacifica. This funding source threatens to compromise Pacifica's integrity in a way the founders believed they had made impossible. The CPB interference in Pacifica's internal affairs is no different than that of any other corporate or government sponsor, and accepting such funds violates the fundamental premises of the foundation. We demand that Pacifica refuse grants from all foundations and other corporate entities and that it place complete reliance on its listener sponsors as the only safeguard of the foundation's integrity. We demand that no Pacifica station shall be sold and that all plans for the sale of WBAI and or KPFA and other stations be immediately abandoned. We demand a rollback of the national office management positions and of the national office's level of centralized control to 1977 levels as outlined in the Bensky proposal, the return of decision-making power to local stations, and the sharp curtailment of the power of the executive director. We demand the reconstitution of the Pacifica and national boards based on democratic elections and the resignation of all national board members. We demand the creation of a governance system for Pacifica that includes meaningful participation and binding decision-making powers for Pacifica's listener sponsors and its paid and unpaid workers. We demand the popularization of the process of selecting managers and program directors at all Pacifica stations and the emplacement of mechanisms of accountability to the staffs and listeners for those who hold those positions.
All right. Very interesting. We have a proposal, so it's not all negative. What about this gunshot thing? I mean, because everybody's taking, you know, saying that it's, you know, this is this violence sort of that occurred at Pacifica KPFA sort of justifies the use of these armed guards that Dennis was talking about when he was on this program a couple of weeks ago. You know. What is this thing?
Look out, Lynn.
Well, you know, it's hard. It's really very hard to say. Yes, there were gunshots fired into the empty Pacifica National office on the night of March 31st at about 11:30 at night. This is the strange thing about that. At the time the shots went off, there was a programmer who was coming into the door to do her show. And one thing that she noticed that was very unusual, because Martin Luther King Way in Berkeley is one of the main drags, and there's always somebody driving up and down it, and the street was empty of cars. No cars were parked. No cars were driving down the street. Suddenly she heard these loud noises, which turned out to be the gunshots, but she did not see anything. You know, so I guess her back was to the street. She was, you know, fiddling with the door to get in. She goes inside the door. Minutes later, a number of Berkeley police show up, not the usual patrol type, but police dressed in what looked like SWAT team type uniforms, and come in and start, you know, grabbing things and looking for numbers, and kind of immediately make a beeline to an announcement that was on the wall calling an emergency union meeting. Pull that off the wall and carry it off. Now, these things have never been explained. It has a strange odor. Nobody has any idea, you know, who fired these gunshots. But I can certainly say that they are taking it to the bank. Anytime they do a press interview, the first thing it starts with is the gunshots. Now, which, and this gunshot incident happened the night after Nicole Sawaya, the manager of KPFA, who was extremely popular and well-loved, contract was not renewed. Hey, you know, what can I tell you? As I said, a lot of people think this has a, you know, a sort of eau de COINTELPRO smell about it.
I'll never forget the night of the Tompkins Square Park riot in 1988 when right before the riot started, the police chief comes up to me and justifies why there's 1,000 cops in the neighborhood by shoving a tattered leaflet that said, "Your house is mine. Yuppies, your houses will be burned down." And the chief of police is screaming, throwing this in my face and saying, "This is why we're here. This is why we're here." And I looked at him and say, "Well, how do I know you didn't write it?" He was very angry at that point, but later he was very apologetic after what happened. But that was another story. But, yeah, I never trust any of these people in power when they start doing what this kind of thing happens. I mean, I wouldn't put past anybody, you know, any sort of plotting and planning, you know, to justify one's position.
Well, see, there's a history of this. The accusations, there's two things that have been used, and they were used previously by Pat Scott several years ago as grounds for trying to exclude the public from board meetings, which were, one, threats, claims that they had received death threats and that the critics of what the Pacifica management were doing were violent and, you know, homicidal, and two, that they were racist, and they were doing all of this because, you know, Pat Scott was a black woman, and, you know, now Mary Frances Berry is a black woman, and, of course, obviously, you know, Alice Walker wouldn't, you know, be out there talking, you know, for a demonstration, right, you know, led by the, you know, white Aryan.
Alice Walker, who today said that freedom is such a constant struggle. But I have to say that I never expected to be standing here in front of KPFA talking about trying to save KPFA. This is the place that we consider ours. This is our station. This is Alice Walker.
Great writer.
Right. Well, we have more calls.
Lots of calls.
212-209-2900.
We want to know what you think.
And you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
All right. Thanks
okay.
for calling.
How much to get an air check of this show?
I'm going to put it on the internet. Do you have internet access?
Yeah, of course.
Can you get, if you can, I'm going to have it up in the next couple of days at our site, pdr.autano.net, and then you can link from there to the page where I keep all of our, we don't put all the shows up, but I'll put this one up, and it's an MP3 format, it's an MPEG format, which
right.
is, you know, it takes a while. I'll put it in, like, small bites as possible, like 10 megabyte bites, you know, it takes an hour to download it, but it's worth it, and you can play it on your MP3, or QuickTime even plays it, so I'll have it up in a couple of days. So go to pdr.autano.net, and from there it'll guide you to the archive page. And I'll even give you that direct address is NWO, as in New World Order, NWO.media.xs2.net. So it's NWO.media.xs2.net. .net, like an access to net. And from there, you can see our listing of our archival listings. There's several pages of them, and you can just download it from there.
Well, all I got to say is this is an extraordinary resource. I've been following this issue since I first read about it in the whole story on Pat Scott in Z Magazine many years ago, and that's what first clued me into this stuff that was going on. And as I've followed the events, it gets more and more distressful to see the levels to which capitalists will go, will stoop to, in order to seize something that they think is of value and take it away from a community that has worked extremely hard to build it up. I mean, this clown out of Houston wasn't out there on the lines like Dennis Bernstein has been for, what, 15 or 20 years doing this type of reporting. He wasn't next to you when you had your press credentials yanked when you were at that that disturbance down the East Village.
I have to say, it enrages me that these decisions are made by folks I've never met.
Oh, it's
I've never met any of these people in my life. Pat Scott never said hello to me. I got a Christmas card from her once a year, which I thought was the strangest thing. You had a Christmas card for somebody you don't know.
And who's working at Counter Purposes.
I know. As well as that, but I found it interesting that I never once got a call. I'll tell you this story. I did a story on Ross Perot for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC. I did like a 5-minute feature for them. I spent a week working on it. I worked very closely with one of their people here in New York. And we finished it. I gave it to them. They uploaded it on the satellite, and I went home. My phone rings at 7:30 in the morning. I pick it up, and it's the executive vice president of the CBC calling me from Toronto to personally thank me.
Right, and you've never gotten anything like that from Pacifica.
No, and I worked there for a year, 10 years.
Exactly.
I don't even know they know my name.
It's extraordinary. What's very interesting to me is to try to figure out where these people came from and how they got onto the national board.
It's the self-selecting nature of the board and the way it goes back to the financing and, I think, I
Does
mean,
it
in
go
my
back
analysis.
To Pat Scott first getting in?
Before that, it really,
really?
Gets back to the fact that structurally Pacifica is weak. We were a very weak structure when it was first set up. The people who set it up were excited about getting a public radio network off the ground and didn't really give very much thought to all the details about how you would set it up.
Only one station, too. That's an important
at that time.
It was
only
KPFA at first.
That's true. Hey, Lynn,
they were all friends. They'd all been, it was a bunch of anarchists and pacifists who'd known each other for years.
Right. And Lynn, I wanted to mention, since you just piped up, was the notion that the attorneys really ought to consider aggressive SEC action.
Securities exchange?
Yeah, or isn't their stock delivered in this corporation?
No.
It's a nonprofit foundation.
It's a nonprofit.
Totally
foundation.
Nonprofit.
Only a foundation.
Well, you can bring the IRS to look into
it. IRS, absolutely.
Well, actually, there are some possibilities talking about, Alphabet Soup. We're looking at the FCC, in fact, which is the entity that licenses these stations. There's a possibility of trying to challenge Pacifica's. If we can't get these people out of Pacifica's directorate, then we need to try to get our stations out of Pacifica, challenge the license, and set up an alternative organization properly constituted that will hold the licenses. I mean, this is a very kind of drastic last resort because license challenges are very difficult. But it would require, massive community support from that because, if there is indeed a COINTELPRO element to all of this, as many of us believe there's certainly ample circumstantial evidence to, conjecture that without being a lunatic, and that in itself is an entire program, then putting yourself at the disposal of, a federal agency like that is a bit tricky, to say the least.
I was also going to mention that the FCC at the civil level, but I'm looking at documenting criminal charges. This constitutes fraud. This constitutes violation of criminal law.
They said, in California, the legal team is looking at, the California Attorney General and those types of issues indeed.
Okay, good. Now, and last thing, and I'll get off and clear the board for other folks. The issue of the gunshots was something that attracted my eye as well, and I'm sitting there going, well, if they fired a gun, where's the bullet?
Where's the what's being done? What's the investigation
going?
Where's the
bullet? Who are the detectives? Were they out there on the street, blocking off the street, looking for casings? Where did the bullet land? Did we simply hear noises?
First of all, activists have tried to obtain a copy of the police report. It's been denied on the grounds that the investigation is open. In their PR pieces, the Pacifica's latest spin doctor, Ilan Fabri, has claimed that this is being investigated as a attempted homicide, and that is false. The Berkeley police have confirmed that it's being investigated as a shooting into an unoccupied building.
Right.
Okay. Supposedly, Fabrication's computer was damaged by one of the bullets. I believe there were 3 shots, but, I mean, don't quote me on that. I must say I haven't really specialized in this gunshot incident because I thought it was very much off the point of what was
It certainly is,
going
and on. That was just my point in going along with the notion that it's COINTELPRO. Just like when the amazingly written note shows up that nobody knows where it came from, it's void of any fingerprints, and it just happens to be the most damning piece of evidence anyone can find. Isn't it interesting how things like this just show up?
There you go.
Well, that's what I'm looking at with regard to the bullets not being present.
Thank you very much. Well, we have a lot of callers. Let's move on.
Thank you very much. Let's move on.
We have so many
Goodbye.
Callers. Thank you. Yeah. All right. And welcome to Let Them Talk. You're on the air.
Hello.
We have so many people calling.
Hello?
Go ahead.
You there?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yep,
yes.
We can hear you.
Oh,
and you're on the air.
I almost fell asleep waiting. The mail that was discovered, I don't remember how exactly. You said it was a missent email?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. But is there anybody or is there any kind of security on the mail that's on file within the building? I imagine all the friendly people are locked out. And who's watching the hen house right now? I'm just thinking that when the Colombian students, took over Colombia, they opened up files and, you know, to our edification. But who knows who's in charge of the mail, you know, of course everything's on email now. They don't have any file cabinets anymore, do they? I mean, everything's on computer.
So you're saying somebody could be in there going, rifling through people's email and stuff?
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if that were happening. You know, thousands of subscribers to KPFA sent letters to the Pacifica Board of Directors and to Chadwick, et cetera, protesting these various actions that have been going on at KPFA since the end of March. Pacifica management turned over 2,000 email letters.
Yeah, I remember that, right. I'm sure that's a violation of some kind of federal law.
Yes, to have them be analyzed by a criminal psychologist for signs of possible violent tendencies with, you know, in connection with this gun shooting.
We still don't know who fired the gun.
No, we don't. But what has happened is the civil rights of several thousand subscribers writing in to protest have been violated, and that is something that is very much a tactic of intimidation.
And
so now every
trust,
writer
too.
Is on a police file as a possible homicidal maniac. You know, once you get into one of those computer files, you don't get out.
And nobody is suing Pacifica on that score alone?
Well, people were looking into that as well, but I have not heard of any developments in that area.
It's more difficult to sue in California than in New York. You're supposed to make, under California law, you're supposed to really try and find other means besides a lawsuit. They don't go right straight to litigation like they do in New York. They have to have all these things where you're supposed to, matter of fact, it delayed this lawsuit for a while because you're supposed to have negotiating sessions. You have to go through having a mediator and all this kind of stuff.
Well, that's probably not such a bad idea, but
they write that in order to try and cut down on litigation in California.
Right. If they have an expert.
So you can't really jump to a lawsuit, really. If you have a complaint, you have to sort of try
in any
and
case,
mediate
I would worry and wonder about by the computer files. You know, I guess it's yeah. compared to other people as well. Right. Okay,
there
thank
you.
You.
Thank
All
you.
Right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's that kind of world. It's that kind of world.
I just want to say again about the demonstration this Friday, July 16th, in front of WBAI at 120 Wall Street at 5:30 p.m. This Friday, July 16th, we're asking for producers, listeners, and staff to come out in solidarity with KPFA and the possible desire to sell our radio station, WBAI, as mentioned in this letter from the treasurer-elect Michael Palmer to Mary Frances Berry, the chairman of the board of Pacifica, who has been very unhelpful and quite unfriendly. Friendly at first. I was very nice to her for a very long time. We used to try to meet with her, SOS, when she first got in, and she was smiling, yes, 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 you know, and always yes, but nothing past yes. They threw a few things up on the website with the minutes to the meetings and stuff, but I mean, really, when at the end of the day, you still have absolutely nothing. So,
okay.
We have a caller.
Yeah.
Hello?
Matter of fact, speaking of files, somebody has just sent a message that, you know, any of the investigative journalists should get lawyers and tell them to go down to court to get emergency protective orders so they can go in and get their private sensitive files.
Okay, can I speak now?
Go ahead.
This is Pirate Jenny of Steal This Radio.
All right.
Hi there. Steal This Radio is not on the air at the moment, and that is because the FCC has been cracking down on pirate radio stations, another really important source of alternative media across the country. I won't go into that whole story, but I'm choosing to use this handle tonight to underline how critical the Pacifica Network, and particularly our home station WBAI, is to all of us, and how not to be lost it all is. I know many people are feeling. Now, I read that email, and I do think it's authentic. It has been authenticated by...
They admit it.
Exactly.
Nobody denies it.
Exactly. And I know I don't think they're somehow concocting it to make us act rashly by demonstrating in New York so that we'll lose the station. I think there's still some room to demonstrate without that happening. If we can't.
Not in New York, but I thought out in San Francisco, I think they had this whole plan. Because you know, if you notice, it was all coming together, the pieces. They brought in the armed cops. They brought in Garland Ganter. It just seemed like the pieces of the puzzle were falling together.
But are you saying that they concocted the letting out to the public of this?
Remember that last riot in Tompkins Square Park right before they closed the park, how the cops withdrew when everybody started throwing bottles and it seemed like a victory, but then the next day they came in and closed the park?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I don't know. The email has the ring of truth, the language, and the plot.
Right, it still is true. I'm not saying it's not true, but the fact that it just accidentally was sent to a supporter.
It is strange. I think, you know, it could have pushed the wrong button. I think somebody else could have gotten wind of it and said, we've got to get this to Andrea somehow. A number of things could have happened. But I think it does have the ring of truth. I think it goes very far in explaining and validating what a lot of people have been saying and the events that have been happening. I mean, something very, very clandestine is afoot, and that sounds like what it is. Now, what I notice about what they say about the New York and the reasoning for maybe trying to sell off the New York station is because we supposedly don't have the subscribership or the emotional history. Okay, which I read
pretty
as
insulting.
As yeah, I read as these people are going to be easier to mess with.
That's right.
Okay, and this is a time honored.
But I know why they didn't.
This is a time honored establishment, you know, way of acting. I remember early in the Giuliani administration, I think one of his first attacks was on daycare centers, and somebody from inside government let it slip that they didn't think the people involved in daycare centers were very formidable. So when they had to do budget cuts, they cut there first. and you could, you know, numerous examples, you know.
Right, but you know what? I think I know why they kept away from BAI at first and went to KPFA, because of the wonderful leadership of Samori Marksman, who took this station out of the red, well, I should say into the red politically, into the red politically, but yes, out of the red financially, and into the black by his extremely excellent organizing skills and really knowledge of what the community really wanted to hear in a lot of ways. And he was the one who engineered the million-dollar fund drives that we had. And I don't think you see, one of the things you have to realize, the Pacifica is extremely cash-starved as far as the national headquarters, not to speak of just the stations, but the national headquarters and their administrative costs. They find it hard to meet those costs, and that they depended on BAI, and they do depend to a large extent on BAI to really be the money machine of the whole network of all five
stations.
Well, I
think there's this new expense of donuts, more donuts now.
For all the security guards?
Yeah, for the security guards. Donuts. So they're having a definite cash flow problem.
Yeah, pink frosting.
But to complete the point I was trying to make, it is that, given the fact that we're being told that we're not a very formidable opponent, I think it's absolutely essential that we turn out in great numbers on Friday. That's really what I want to say. I think
that they asked with New Yorkers, Jesus, are they crazy?
I think that everybody listening should call everybody they know and tell them to call everybody they know and get their ass down there.
We'll show them how dysfunctional we can be.
What?
We'll show them how dysfunctional we can be.
We'll show them just how dysfunctional. We can show them there's going to be a lot more dysfunctionality if they mess with us. And I think that we have plenty of room to do that. And I think that that kind of reasoning that says, well, it's a setup, don't go to the demonstration. I've been doing, you know, watching actions and demonstrations for a very long time, and that kind of reasoning rarely applies. If anything, it becomes an excuse to not do anything.
Always go to the demonstration.
Always go to the demonstration.
Always.
Right.
Always.
Always
go.
Always go.
All right.
So always.
That's what I want to say. I hope everyone will be there with bells on. This is an extremely serious moment, and among other things, we just really need to express ourselves here in New York. So I'll see you there.
All right.
Thanks, Pirate Jenny.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye, Jenny. Bye. Thanks for calling, honey.
All right, and we have a lot of calls here.
Oops, not that one.
212-209-2900. This is Let 'Em Talk. I'm Paul DiRienzo. We have Lynn Gary.
Lynn Gary.
It's late at night. Lynn Gary on the phone, who's a former shop steward at
Heavy Heffley in the studio.